Well, this morning we're beginning a new series. And God's already shown up today. So I'm going to keep this brief because it's only the introduction. Is that okay? How many of you are excited football season's coming up? I am pumped for football. Some of you know that our eldest son, who lives right outside of Portland, Oregon, is a high school football coach. Man, he's getting ready for football. Because of our kids, football has gotten really into our blood, and we are excited for the football season. How many of you can imagine that on opening game day, I mean, preseason is going to quickly be behind us, and can you imagine on opening day that your favorite football player is all pumped to be in the locker room? Like, just to, like, be in the locker room. Do you think that football players train all their lives and then all preseason to hang out in the locker room? Can I tell you, there has never been a point been put on the board from the locker room. Because football players live to be on the field. That's where the game is. That's where they accomplish their mission. That is what they are trained for, not for the locker room, but for the field. Listen, locker rooms are needed, though. Locker rooms are great places for football players to come to rest, to rehydrate, and to refocus on the game plan. Right? We need locker rooms. Football players need locker rooms, but that is not where the game is played. And in a similar way, those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, when we gather at church, like we're doing right now, it's kind of like being in the locker room. It's important. We come to rest and to rehydrate our souls. And we come to refocus on God's word and make sure that our lives are aligned with what God has for us. But listen, we need to remember this is the locker room. This is not the field. This is our locker room. This is your locker room speech. To get us ready to move onto the field. You don't have to have read much of the Bible to realize that when you get to the New Testament, over and over again, we learn that we are ones who are sent into the world. In John chapter 17, it's an amazing chapter because within this chapter, much of it is actually Jesus' prayer for his followers, including you and me. I think you might find it interesting sometime to just read John 17 and you can actually capture the words of Jesus as he prayed. But this is what he said as he was praying for his followers. John 17, 18 says this. He says, he's talking to his father, and he says, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. When you think about the power of the incarnation, that's the big word we use to describe God coming to earth in flesh. God coming in the person of Jesus as a man. That's called the incarnation. And can I tell you that Jesus has now sent us to incarnate his presence in the world. That we are to be his people on the field, as it were, in the world. Amen. That is what we are called to do. We don't just gather in the church, in the locker room. We move out of here as the church. Let me say that again, because some of you haven't caught it. We don't just gather in the church. We move out of these four walls into the world as the church. In fact, you really need to get clear on this, that this building right here is not the church. We call it, hey, are you going to church? And you might mean 709 North Courier Street. That's cool. But this is not the church. You are the church. I am the church. Together, collectively, we are the church. And God has called his church not only to gather, but to scatter. To not just think that, oh, what's really important is our locker room conversations. To rest and rehydrate and refocus. No, that's not what's important. What is really more important is us understanding our mission to go as these sent ones of Jesus to incarnate the very presence and person of God. We are people on mission with a message of Jesus' love. We are called to live on the front lines, not behind the lines. We are called to be people on the front lines, and we need a front lines type of faith. Some of us are on the front lines as students. School just got back, was started just in the past weeks. Some of you are on the front lines as teachers or as administrators. Some of you are on the front lines as workers in your job, driving your trucks or in the fields or in packing places or in banks or in all those different places where we work. Some of you are business owners and you're on the front lines as an owner and manager of people. Some are on the front lines in their neighborhood. We actually all are. Where God has placed us in our lives, in where we live. Some of you are called to be on the front lines as pastors. There are some that are here this morning that if we were able to fast forward your life just a handful of years, I believe that there are some that are in this room, that there is a calling on your life for pastoral leadership, to actually lead a church or to lead within a church pastorally. Some may be right here in Santa Maria. Some may be in other places around the world doing that. We call those people missionaries. But they're not just the only ones on a mission, but there are certain ones, wink, that are called to go, there's something within them that says, my front line is not here. The front lines God has called me to are there. In this next year, you've probably already heard that God is calling our church to partner with Foursquare in southern Mexico. Man, we're so excited about that. There are some that are going to go to the front lines in León, Guanajuato, Mexico, that are going to go there, some just for a week or two. Others for a year or two, and some God may call you to be there for your lifetime. Because we are to have a front lines kind of faith and say, God, I am willing to go wherever you put me, whether it's in my place of work or my neighborhood or in my church or all the way around the world. We need a front lines kind of a faith. And so I want to give you a front lines faith declaration that we're going to be talking about over these coming weeks. You can go ahead and put that up on the screen. I want to read it to you first, and then I want you to declare it with me. Listen to this. I am Jesus, first and best representative, wherever he places me. Within me is everything needed to bring salvation to any person and redemption to any situation. I have been sent on mission into the world. authorized and empowered to minister the love and message of Jesus to those around me. That's a declaration. Now, I want you to declare that with me. Not that you have it all unpacked and understood, you know, every nuance of, but I want you to just begin to declare this over yourself. And that's why it is there in the first person, so that when you say it, you're making a declaration of the truth of being someone with a front lines kind of faith. Are you ready? Here we go. I am Jesus' first and best representative wherever he places me. Within me is everything needed for God to bring salvation to any person and redemption to any situation. I have been sent on mission into the world, authorized and empowered to minister the love and message of Jesus to those around me. Come on. Let's leave that up there for a moment. I want to break down those three sentences just very quickly. That first sentence is, I am Jesus' first and best representative wherever he places me. Here's what that says. It ain't your mama. It ain't even your pastor. As wonderful as I am, guess what? I ain't where you are. He has placed you onto the front lines in your neighborhood, in your place of work, in your school, or on the mission field, wherever it may be. Can I tell you, he has placed you there. You are Jesus' first and best representative. He has called you to be on the front lines representing him. Can I say this? Within me is everything needed to bring salvation to any person and to work redemptively in any situation. And you go, yeah, you can say that. You're the pastor. Yeah, within you. No, no, no. Everybody say within me. Say it like you mean it. Within me. How can we declare that? Because this is what God's word says. Greater is he who is within you than he who is in the world. Amen. That's the devil. That's the enemy. Greater is Jesus by his spirit within you than any evil force, any form of darkness in the world. God in you is greater. Therefore, I can declare that within you is everything that God needs to do radical breakthrough work on the front lines, wherever they may be. In your home. Somebody needs to catch this. In your home, you need to be able to declare, God within me is everything needed for you to do your work, to bring salvation to those who are broken and hurting and lost, and to work redemptively in any situation, no matter how broken it's been. Within you. Now, the cool thing is that we do get to partner together as a church family. And you know what? You probably, if you caught on, if you get any letters from me or see emails from me or whatever, often I refer to us as a church family. Yeah, we're a congregation, but that word sounds all like churchy and whatever. No, we're a church family. That means that everything that God needs to accomplish his work is resident within you. But you know what? We do get to partner together. But I love showing up in people's homes or, you know, in their lives and in their stories where we can partner together, where we can. I love seeing community groups get together because we then get to do life walking alongside of each other. So God's presence in you combined with God's presence in me and in your community group members, or in the other mentor that you're partnering with in Safari Kids or wherever we're doing life and ministry together, there's an exponential kind of a work that happens. When we get together for the fiesta in just a couple of weeks, can I tell you that when we all marshal our strengths and giftings and abilities together as the church, man, we get to really do some amazing things to bless the city of Santa Maria and to bless our neighbors in big ways. But don't let the bigness of those things fool you. Because about 362.5 days of the year, it's just you. And you need to be reminded that it's not just when we gather that there's strength, that within me, say within me, is everything needed for God to do his work within me. And most days, that's where we live. This last statement, I have been sent on mission into the world, authorized and empowered to minister the love and message of Jesus to those around me. That's what we're talking about. Listen, the front lines can sometimes be a little scary. Because there's darkness in the world, I know that. Sometimes it's more comfortable to stay in the locker room. Holding on to my locker, don't make me go out on the field. I'm not ready. Because we know those guys out there are big and they're coming after us, right? Sometimes it can be a little scary. Do you know what motivates and compels us? It's the very thing that motivated and compelled Jesus. There's a prayer, or there's a statement that Jesus makes about prayer where he says to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the field. Okay, guess who the laborers are? Us, we're the sent ones, right? But right before Jesus made that statement, this is what it says. It's in Matthew 9:36. We read this about Jesus, that when he saw the crowds, when he saw people that were out there on the front lines, it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. One of the reasons that I know that God is calling us individually and as a church to be people that are on the front line, a church that's on the front line, is because there is a world right outside of these walls that Jesus is passionate about. Compassion. He has so much compassion, so much love. Because when he looks within their stories, he sees that they are harassed and helpless. It was a few months ago that Zach and I were walking around the church campus. And, you know, we're looking at stuff that needs to get done. We need to paint that wall and we need to, you know, whatever, all that stuff that we have to do. And as we're walking around, you know, we've got this big playground over here that we're redoing, the new neighborhood playground. But over here is a small playground. And as we kind of came around there, man, there was probably about a dozen boys over there that were, I don't know, they ranged from probably about kindergarten age through about second grade. And we just said, oh, let's go over and let's just, you know, see what they're up to. And so we walk right into the middle of this little group of kids. And, you know, they're just being boys. And but as the conversation over just a couple of moments unfolded, it was obvious that the boys were really excited to tell us, like, how bad they were. So one of the kids is like, man, I got suspended for fighting. a first grader throwing down, you know. But as they kind of went on, you could really see the brokenness. And I'm going to ask you to stop the recording because I don't want this part recorded. Can I tell you that that has not left my soul? There was such brokenness that was evidenced within those three words that this little boy spoke. God, what is his story? God, what would take a 5-year-old or 6-year-old to even conceive that those things would be acceptable or would be normal or would be something that he would want to tell two grown men in that moment? I think in many ways it was the Holy Spirit that was just revealing something about what was in this boy's soul to allow us to have an insight into those who live around us, who live around you, who are your next door neighbors, who are harassed and who are helpless. Next week, as we take this conversation a step further, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the reason we're going to be looking there next week is because towards the end, it's when we are told that we are Christ's ambassadors. That's a big word. It carries a lot of weight. It carries the nuance that we actually are the representation of Christ wherever we go. It really is the theme of this whole series of being someone with a front lines faith, that we are his ambassadors. Right in the middle of that, I just want to share one idea from there as we finish. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13, and you don't worry about putting this up on the screen, because I'm just going to read just a little tidbit of what it says. Paul says this, he says, if it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. I love how honest Paul is when he writes and when we read his letters. And he says this, hey, if we're crazy, is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right mind, hey, that's going to benefit you too. Either way, it's Christ's love that controls us. It's Christ's love that compels us to go to the front lines. How many of you have ever done something crazy because you were in love? How many of you would wish that someone would do something crazy because they love you? Listen, we're to live that way. We're going to be a little crazy sometimes. Sometimes in our right mind. I love that. But either way, it's because of Christ's love that compels us, controls us. Because we are submitted to his love and to the leading of his Spirit. Church, we are people with a front lines faith. Over these next weeks, my prayer is that each one of us would capture more fully the reality that we were not born to live in the locker room, but on the field. And not just to gather as a church, but to move out, empowered by Jesus and his Spirit to move into the front lines of this world. Let's pray. God, I thank you so greatly that you see each one of us in our story. That God, that you see us when we're harassed and helpless. You have seen us in our brokenness and in our worst. And you love us anyway. God, you love us. You died for us. That is a crazy love. And we are so grateful. Lord, I pray that, Father, that we would grow in our perception of those around us. Sometimes we just get so tired of people and we forget that these people are harassed and they're helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But God, you are the great shepherd. You are the lover of our souls, and you are the one who gave your very life, Lord, for those who are harassed and helpless. And God, we pray that you would empower us to move as your people of faith right into those spaces and places, Lord, where people are the most broken, where there is the greatest need. Lord, we need your strength. We need your empowerment. We're grateful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit goes with us, that we don't go alone. We don't do this in our own power and strength. We do it, Lord, because you're the one who's doing the sending, and you are the one who is accompanying. Lord, I pray for any here today, Lord, that as they think about their own story, they say, I'm not ready to go out because I am one of those who feels harassed and helpless. Like someone whose story has just been so broken that, God, what possibly would I have to give? But I want to speak to those right for a moment who might feel that that's where you are at. And God says that there is nothing that is so broken in your life or your story that I cannot redeem or heal. There is nothing beyond the scope of my ability to bring my presence, my power, my love to bear right on that situation, right on your story, to bring full restoration.